to be a sanctuary, Lord, pure and holy, tried and true. It's where His presence. Dear Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, Lord, pure and holy, tried and true. It's with thanksgiving.
Be here tonight. I believe that's every one of our desires. God bless you. Let's stand, please. Amen. So thankful that he brought us out. Got a lot to be happy for.
Oh, my heart was distressed, neath Jehovah's dread frown, and low in the pit where my sins dragged me down. Oh, I cried to the Lord from the deep, my tenderly brought me out to golden day. He brought me out of that miry clay, and he set my feet on the rock to stay. Song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. He placed me upon steps were established, here I'll abide. No danger of falling while here I remain, but stand by his grace until the crown I gain. By day and by night, its sweet notes I will raise. My heart's overflowing, I'm happy and free. I'll praise my Redeemer who has rescued me. Yes, he brought me out of that miry.
greet one another this evening.
You thankful that he brought you out of the miry clay. Amen. He lifted us up and set our feet on a solid rock. Amen. God bless you. I want to make a couple of announcements. There are some bread and donuts downstairs that the gentleman that Brother Paul Layton knows donated. So if you have need of any of that after service, feel welcome to go downstairs and get some of that. And then also just wanted to remind you, we'll be having our pitch-in meal tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Tunnel Hill Christian Church in Georgetown. And the address for that's on the website if you don't have it. But it's at the gym there behind the church, and we'll be having food there and fellowship. Looking forward to that. And then Brother Danny Steeman, that'll be preaching for us tonight, he'll be preaching for us Sunday morning and Sunday evening as well. So just want to remember the special services in prayer. And then Brother Arnie and Sister Alice, they requested prayer for their daughter Roxanne, so we want to remember her in prayer. And then also my sister Debbie, she's not feeling well tonight. How many of you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Trevor, would you come and lead us in prayer tonight over these requests? I know some of you just got back from the Believers Youth Camp and had a good time there. Hopefully you've got a chance to rest up a little bit and came expecting tonight. We're just looking forward to what the Lord has for us. Amen. Bless you.
Man, how many of you thankful that he brought you out of the miry clay? I was just thinking about it as we were singing. I was like, you know, I'm glad I can recognize that I was in miry clay. Because so many people that are just wallowing like a pig in the pigsty don't even know it. So I'm thankful for revelation that he brought me out and that I know he brought me out. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's good to be here. Lord, it's good to gather together in your name. It's good to be together to worship your great name and to tell you we love you. Lord, just as the request that we had for Sister Debbie and Roxanne, and Lord, you know each need and how they're feeling, Lord, and I pray that you would go to them and minister to their needs. We know that you've already paid the price, Lord, so we're just going to claim it for them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we're thankful for all that you do, your many great blessings. As I was talking with some of the campers at this week how Psalms 103 says, forget not the Lord and all of his benefits. Lord, we're thankful for the benefits that we have, Lord. And Father, pray now that you be welcome in this service. Let your presence come and be amongst us, Lord, as you promised in your word. We're thankful for that, Lord. I pray that you bless our brother Danny. Give him the words to speak, Lord Jesus. And may it not be his thoughts, but the thoughts from you, Lord God. May it be faithful and may it be directed to the hearts of those that need it, Father. So now, Lord, bless us with your presence again. We want to tell you we love you, Lord, and be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special from Brother Zion, Brother Azariah, and Sister Gloriana Emond. you very much. We sure appreciate that. God bless you. Well done. Sing this little chorus tonight.
Oh, walk with me, Lord. Oh, won't you walk with me? Just walk with me, Lord. Just walk with me. And while I'm on this pilgrim journey, oh, I need Jesus to walk with me. Stand and sing it. Oh, greater is he that is. is in me. You believe that tonight? That is in me. Yes, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, greater is he that is in me.
Sing it again.
Oh, greater is he that is in me. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Oh, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Well, old Satan's like a roaring lion. He's roaming to and fro. He's seeking whom he may devour, the Bible tells us so. So many souls have been his prey, to fall in some weak hour. But our God has promised us today his overcoming power. So greater is he that is in me. You thankful of that? Oh, greater is he that is in me. Oh, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Yes, on the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind, oh, it blew into the upper room and baptized all of them. It was with a fire greater than any earthly foe. Oh, and I'm so glad I've got it too. I want to let the whole world know. Oh, that greater is he that is in me. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Oh, greater is he that is in me. One more time together. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Oh, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Amen. Well, Brother Furman didn't know what Brother Danny spoke on last night at the Bible study, but he was talking about Satan as being a hunter, and how that Satan used the tactics of a hunter to try to go after God's people. And he asked the children, he said, when we say greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, he said, who's in us and who's in the world? And so they answered him, and I'm so thankful that greater is the God that is in us than the enemy Satan that is in the world. So I thought that was very appropriate for this evening. I'm going to invite Brother Danny to come, if he would, at this time to speak to the young and the middle-aged and the old alike. It's kind of focus to the young people tonight. That's why we saved the first few rows for the young people. But just because it's focused to the young people doesn't mean that if you're middle-aged or old or whatever, however old you are, if you're younger than what we consider the young group up here and you're younger than that, 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever it is, doesn't mean that if you have a need that God can't still, if you pull on that gift, just pull you right to that need. And so we just come with expectations, whatever your age is, that God will do something for you tonight. But as he comes, let's just sing that again together and welcome him. I'm so thankful him and Sister Michelle came all the way from Florida to be with us this weekend. They were with us a few years ago at the storefront, and we had a marvelous time of fellowship. And Brother Trevor and I have both been down to Sarasota and preached for Brother Danny several times, and just a very precious brother of like precious faith. And we're just privileged to have them with us this evening. So let's sing it together again as he comes. Oh, greater is he that is in. Greater is he that is in me.
Greater is he that.
believe that, don't we? Amen. Amen. Sometimes when we go through life and we don't think we can hear Him, feel Him, or even know where He's at, He made His promise, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And He wants us just to trust that word no matter how we feel, no matter what we're going through, we just believe that word and you'll find out, amen, He is greater than anything that we have experienced. And so we appreciate that. And it's such an honor, amen, to be here, part of this meeting, and a privilege to speak to you young people. Believe it or not, everybody else in this building were young people at one time too. Can you all your older folks say amen? Amen. Well, I like the, yeah, we were, but you know, it's true. And you know, these our young folks need our encouragement. They need people to tell them they're somebody in the Lord. Because for sure, Satan's going to try to tell them they're somebody else. So it's a privilege to be here. And we thank Brother Nathan for the invitation. Amen. He's been a blessing to our assembly down there in Sarasota, Florida. And I know at one time, Brother Nathan and Brother Trevor, they would travel together. They were like a package, right? Like a package, you know. And they've been a blessing. And they've been a blessing in our church. And I appreciate that. I appreciate Brother Trevor and his ministry and his personality. you know, God is a God of variety. So He uses each one and how they are. He don't want us all to be like everybody else. Could you imagine if everybody was like me? This would be horrible. We'd have a horrible time. But I'm glad that we're all individuals, that God can work through that individuality to express, amen, who He is. And He loves to express Himself. He's a great big God who loves to express Himself. And I believe He wants to do that for these young people this evening. I've never seen a person come that expected something from the Lord that left disappointed. I believe that God will meet that expectation. If you come expecting something from God, and I know you're tired, you've been in meetings all week long, many of you, and I understand that, and I sympathize with that. But, you know, we can press through that and just ask the Lord to just touch me according to my need. I'm a needy person, and I need you more and more every hour. I think the older I get, sometimes the less I know. One thing I do know, God's faithful and true. Many times the answer to my prayer never came with a big shout. It never came with a great sensation. It just happened. And that's the way God works. So I thank Him for it and I love Him for it. And so, amen. Once again, young people, it is a privilege to be here. And we love you with the love of the Lord. I'm thankful my wife was able to come, Sister Michelle. She's actually born up here in Jeffersonville, I think. Yeah, you know, that's bad to say that. You know, if you think, and your wife, I got to go home with her tonight. And she was born here in Jeffersonville and then moved to Florida when she was 9. Praise the Lord, because then I got to meet her. So, and now the rest is history. Amen. You've already said and made up your mind I'm different, so I just kind of keep it that way. But so we're just thankful. We're looking for the Lord to do something in our midst. Amen, and we believe that He'll do it. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we can plan, we can study, we can come together, but Lord, it takes You to come and confirm Your words. It takes You, Lord, to be the action, Father, of the things that we're speaking about. Lord, we know that the Scripture says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that the Word of God, Lord, will be spoken, Lord, to the hearts of Your children, Father, that they would believe it, Lord, and they would, Lord, be under that expectation of it, Lord, to meet, Lord, what they've looked for or have desired. Father, You know where each heart is. Lord, we just come in here. You lay a burden upon our heart. We preach it, Father, but You, Lord, do the quickening of it, I pray. Lord, bless the efforts of everybody who's made this meeting possible. Bless Brother Nathan and Sister Rebecca, Lord, and just all the elders of the church and each one that just pitched in, Lord, and brought an effort together because they're interested in the young people. They're interested, Lord, in the growth, Lord, of these lives and the things of God. And we ask, Lord, that You would now bless that and anoint my lips, anoint the ears of the hearer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're turning your Bibles over to the book of Isaiah, the 6th chapter, We've just come through the celebration of the birthday of our nation. A lot of fireworks and parties all over the nation. But there was a cost of freedom. And I think it's important that we recognize the things that take freedom from us, and also important that it takes free men that are willing to die in order for freedom to be gained. Not men that were forced at gunpoint, that you have to fight for us and you have to charge that slope, charge that mountain. For many, many nations, dictatorships, they'd force their young people into the battle and have behind them the political officers with guns trained on them that if they turned back, they would die. But we thank the Lord that there was men that volunteered to take a charge and to respond to the need of the hour. And so I think we are often not impressed with history because we didn't personally experience it. So when we don't understand that, we don't understand the sacrifices that others have lived. And that's the way it is with the gospel. In order to be a witness, it has to be or have a testimony. We have to have be a true witness of what we're talking about. Amen. In order to do that, you need to meet him. Amen. It's more than church going. It's more than coming to a creed. It's more than coming to a doctrine or a dogma or a set of ideas. It's coming to Christ. Amen. And Brother Branham said, as he traveled around the nation, he said, more and more I'm made to believe that people are not getting to Christ. They're getting to theories and they're getting to ideas. Listen, that's what it must come back to. We must come back to Christ. And you say amen. And so I want to, if I can encourage you and give a title this evening, I want to title this Responding to the Heavenly Vision. Responding to the Heavenly Vision. I know I'm speaking to people that no doubt have heard it all, and so that's all right. You're going to hear this again. We pray that in the preaching of this message, that it might prick the heart of a young person for us to understand that the calls that are upon our life, the gifts that are given to us, we cannot take them for granted. So many times, and I apologize for holding you, but so many times we think we can repent anytime we want to. But we don't understand even repentance is a gift of God. Amen. Paul said it like this: if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of truth. God gives repentance. So I would just encourage you, if God is dealing with your heart, respond to it. And this is a youth meeting, but it's also to all the older youth. You respond to it. It may not even see the right time to respond, but you respond because that's God dealing with your heart. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. You can be seated. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. We have these meetings because we have before us here a crop of young people that are full of potential. Amen. And it's our desire that we would see those potentials come to their fullest expression. There's not a one of us that are in here, no matter what our position is, that are not been gifted by God with something that He's given us, that He gave to express Himself in some way. And so that's why I think these meetings are so important, because, amen, God is dealing with lives. He's changing lives. I often think of the time of Nehemiah when he went to Jerusalem with the charge to build the walls of Jerusalem. And he came with a letter from the king, with the king's seal. And the others didn't know that he had that purpose and that he had that king's charge to do what he was going to do. But the Bible says that when he went out to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. And that's what is happening in a meeting like this. God is seeking our welfare. God is seeking to give you the best that He can give you, to equip you not only for natural life, but for how you live for Him. God wants to do it. It's His interest to do it. That's why we have meetings like this. Sometimes we sit on the pew and it can seem kind of boring to us. And we kind of wonder, where in the world is that preacher going with that? And why is he saying things that way? But God is dealing with the heart. Somewhere He's dealing with something in order to correct it and to change it. And many times the preacher will be sweating and wondering, why, Lord, did I have to get over on this? And I didn't want to speak on that. I wanted to speak on something else. But it was God's interest in your welfare, that He knew something about your life that I didn't, the preachers didn't, but He knew it. And so He wants to deal with it that way. And I'm so glad he does, because I know the Lord diverted many ministers for my sake and sent them down a path that they might have sweated over and wondered, why am I saying that? And then God confirmed it later. So I'm glad He does it that way. And so God, for you young people, He wants to bring you to the center of His purpose, to the center of His will. He's trying to bring you there. And maybe there's something in your life tonight that He has to deal with in order for God to bring you to that thing. Maybe it's something He has to remove. Maybe it's something that you don't even realize is blocking the potential or blocking the growth, but God says, I'm going to deal with it, and I'm going to move it out of the way in order that you can grow up into what I have called you to express. You know, you're familiar, no doubt, with the altar boy Brother Branham talked about, with a man who had an enlarged heart and things that were wrong there. And I guess he'd been to the doctor and so forth, and he was getting ready to have an operation. And he came into an interview with Brother Branham, and he said the Holy Spirit went back down through his life and called out something he had done when he was an altar boy in the Catholic Church. And the man said, that's the truth. That's the honest truth. He said, do you mean that was against me? Now, to the man, it might not have seemed like it was very much. And I don't know what it was. But God, amen, knew that thing was laying over his life and had to be removed in order for that life to express the testimony of God. And once the thing was exposed, he went back to the doctor. And the doctor says, well, let's check your heart again. And then he said, you don't need the operation. What was it? God brought to light the need of something in his life that needed to be removed. And that's why we thank God for services like this, that God can come and speak in such a simple way to even the youngest heart. Listen, it's not hard for our children to understand the truth. It's not hard for them to even understand the deep things of God. It's us who make it mysterious. It's us who make it complicated. But if our young people can go into the depths of Satan, I promise you our young people can go into the depths of God. Amen. And it's our charge and it's our duty, amen, to stand and try to do the same thing. If God has touched me, I want Him to touch you. Amen. That's what the prophet said. He said, if our hearts condemn us, we want complete deliverance. We don't want to be a halfway church. We want to be a real church or no church at all. Amen. So God even wants to take our church plane away from us. Amen. We want to be real Christians or no Christians at all. We want total deliverance from our habits. We want total deliverance from our sin. We want total deliverance from our evil thinking. We want it from our evil doing, from negligence. Whatever we've done, we want total deliverance. That's why we come to church. There are many, many examples in the scripture where a person's life and calling seem to be a missed opportunity, something that would never be fulfilled. But then in one moment, In one moment, in a presence of the pillar of fire, in a personal experience with God, it changed the course of that whole life and brought them right to the center of God's will. And it could have, that life could have languished for many, many years, like Moses. It languished and languished and languished in the bloom of his strength as a young man. You think that's when God would have revealed himself to him. But then, amen, he tried, knowing what was the truth, he tried to do the right thing, but he failed miserably because his own strength wasn't enough. His own understanding of his message wasn't enough. Amen. You know, I want to make something clear. What I believe the message is. The message isn't, amen, ideas. The message isn't different thoughts and different doctrines that we call the message. Amen. Brother Bam said the message. The message is the promise that God has made for this hour. Amen. And now he's bringing it to pass. That is the message. You see, because if we just take the idea of a message, we're become exclusive and proud. Come on, we begin to think we're something special. But I want to tell you something. You're no different than a homeless person down under a bridge. Your soul, that soul is precious to God too. And it's by the God who is rich in mercy, amen, has called you and he's brought you, that you recognize, amen, this is God. We don't earn this. There's no merit that has given us the message. We're blessed to even hear it. We're blessed to have an understanding of it. And God didn't give it to you to chop it up and to say, well, you know, I have my own thing. No, God, this is God. This is God. This is not man. How many can agree with me? This is not man. This is not William Branham's message. This is God's message. He used Brother Branham to speak it to you, but it's God's message. And he wants you, young people, to understand how much he loves you. And how much he's here right now. And his very existence is for you. God is existing. He's existing. Amen. To bring his word to pass in your life. How many of you want the Holy Ghost? God wants you to have it more than you could even want it. Isn't that wonderful? Now, Moses had ran away from his calling. And you think of it, God can't change his purpose. God can't change his predestinated view. And it had to be Moses to fulfill that calling. And in a moment of time, in the presence of the pillar of fire, God changed him forever. It took one moment after 80 years of failure, 40 years of learning. The Bible says he was a man mighty in word and in deed. Learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He had the highest education that a man could have. He was a warrior. We would think at the bloom and the height of that strength, it'd be the perfect time that God could use that man to deliver the children of Israel. But God didn't. Why? There was too much of Moses in the way that would stand in the way of the deliverance and the promise of God. But yet Moses was the man that God had that was going to do the work. And that just shows the patience and the long-suffering of God. How he'll deal with the man and deal with the man until the man begins to humble down and come to a place that God can touch him and change his life forever. After 40 years of knowledge and 40 years of being a man mighty in word and deed, when he met God after 40 years in the wilderness, he told God, I can't even talk. What did it? What did it? Life did it. Marriage did it. You guys look excited. Mary, hey, your prophet said, amen, Moses was, well, the Bible said, we know he's a man with a temper, and here he marries a wife that has a temper like his. And Brother Ben said, it must have been something on the backside of the desert when both of their tempers got a hand at the same time. But yet it was the will of God working that around and humbling that man. Here's a man who used to have a great platform and a platform to express it. As an Egyptian, and now God took all of that from him. The only thing he has is a tent and a wife who talks back. You think about it. Amen. And the wife should rise up in victory tonight and say, praise the Lord. And amen, honey, I'm allowed to talk back, and only if your name is Zipporah. Amen. And you know, but it went on for 40 years of this, and you know, things getting out of hand in the backside of the desert. But when he met God, he met him humbly. He knew how to take off his shoes because he'd heard it before. Wife, tell him, take off your shoes and take off your shoes. And you know, you bring in those muddy sandals, dirty sandals, and everything else, and all the honey you take. She probably didn't say it so gentle, take off your shoes. And you know, when you come to the burning bush, take off your shoes. He'd heard it before. And when he's talking to God, and God's saying, I'm sending you, and I want you to go tell them, let my people go. He says, God, I can't even talk. So we know who even won the arguments. But what it was, amen, it seemed, well, you say, Brother Dan, that sounds familiar. Because these men are not like what imagination portrays them. They were men of like passions like you and I. That's why I thank God for the honesty and the humility of William Branham. We call him Brother Branham because he was humbled to admit his mistakes, and that when he would tell a lie, he told us what happened and the consequence of the angel of the Lord talking to him says, you're not even worthy to pray for that baby. And it taught me that God teaches us the humility in which he wants the word to be expressed in its power. And it was just a moment of time. All those mistakes. And here God, Moses had thought, you know, no doubt God has forgot me. He's forgot about me, forgot the call. I forgot the call. So that's going to fall to someone else. God never forgot him. God had to use him. You know, and here you are, and I know that's maybe even speaking more to the elder than it is to the younger, but not to the younger. You, if time lasts, you've got a life full of ahead of you of potential. And this is the greatest time and the greatest privilege that you could have is to flee youthful lust and to stand for God in this generation and say, he's the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Excuse me just a minute. Amen. Some were changed so drastically, like Paul, who thought he was already serving God. But then he met the pillar of fire, he was forever a different man. And God never met with Paul just to change him. But he met him because he had something important to do. He was to write a big portion of the New Testament and to preach the gospel. And may this be what happens to you. Not that you're called to write the Bible, for that has already been done. But without you, the Bible would be incomplete. The Bible has already been written, but without you, it would be incomplete. Because God has to send somebody to confirm what he said is the truth. How could Isaiah stand and say, he was wounded for my transgressions, he was bruised for my iniquities, unless somebody could stand up and prove that scripture is the truth? The word cannot be confirmed by just being spoken. It has to be manifested. Amen. Amen. Brother Branham said in the message, looking unto Jesus, he said, sometimes people go to service with their minds already made up. And if certain things are said or something against their idea, they'll walk out. They won't stand because they got their own idea what it must be. And he said, that's the very reason Jesus was not understood. When he came to the earth, if they'd only looked into the word of God instead of their tradition of that day, they would have known he was the Son of God, because the Bible plainly declared his full coming, and he came in full revelation of the word. And then he said, and this is where we come to you young people. He said, each generation reveals him in the full revelation that's allotted for that time. Isn't that beautiful? This generation must reveal Jesus Christ. Amen. And so I would tell this generation, let this generation rise up. Because, amen, it is given to you to reveal the full revelation of Jesus Christ in this time. Amen. Now, you may feel small and insignificant. And looking at the people gathered here, you may feel like you're not even be singled out. That is talking to somebody else, but God has his eye on you.
And we know by Scripture, scripturally we know that we are predestinated in Christ Jesus, chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, and according to the purpose of God. Then we know that nobody can take your place. You know what? What's magnificent to me, and I don't understand it fully, is that God would know about this meeting. He would know where you would sit. He would know what you would wear. And He would know what was in your heart. And then He would take the foolishness of preaching. He would have the singing and the foolishness of preaching. Things would be battling you. The thoughts of your mind, the tiredness of your flesh, and the word going forth. And all these things are mixing together right now in this atmosphere that we're talking. And then you got people of God, and maybe some of the, they're starting to break through the tiredness, and they're starting to say amen to the word, and it's becoming more alive to them, and the atmosphere in the room is beginning to change. What God is doing is He's making the climate right, because the word is right, the people are right, but the climate has to be right. And when the climate comes right, then the word can begin to manifest itself. Let me tell you, if everybody come in here thinking I'm going to go to Burger King as soon as the meeting is over, you got your mind on Burger King or something else, but yet there's somebody in here sick and needs to be healed, all these thoughts of a Whopper is going to stop that healing. Why? Because your mind is somewhere else. You're in tune with your stomach, but not the need. Do you understand what I'm saying? So God wants to bring ourselves into focus and into tune and get in the rhythm of the word as it's beginning to beat. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. No doubt we got in here needs that are very great. I got some great needs back at home right now that I'm dealing with. Some great needs in your heart says, oh God, I don't know how to get around it. I don't know how to go over it. I don't know how to go under. But God, You can make it right. Just a moment of time, 80 years of failure can be done away with in the presence of the pillar of fire. You believe that? So God is not standing by this evening as an impersonal bystander. He's very involved in your life right now. The scripture I read to you of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, his whole world has been changed and turned upside down. The man that he had looked up to, the man that he'd called a hero, the king who has greatly influenced Judah in a way that hasn't been seen since the time of Solomon, has died. But it wasn't so much the death of Uzziah that has turned his world upside down, but rather it was the actions that Uzziah had done that had turned him, and he didn't know. He didn't know what to do, and it caused him to be downcast and discouraged. And you're familiar with Brother Branham's preaching on influence, and he used this example many times. But he said, Isaiah thought, what must I do? He said, Uzziah is dead, and he had been leaning upon the arm of Uzziah. He said, to him, life itself was almost gone. But he went down to the temple to pray, and he cried out at the altar. And sometimes God will let you become disappointed. And you'll let the props that have propped you up get knocked down. Here, let your ideas that you've built up be taken away from you. Here, let disappointment strike you. Here, let heartaches come. Amen. Sometimes He does that because He's trying to get you to the place that you're being influenced by the gospel and not by something else. And that's when He told us, be wise enough to catch it. Now, I'm looking at this because Uzziah is a mighty king, and who wouldn't have looked at him in admiration and listened to his advice and listened to what he'd done and tried to emulate him and try to be like him because he was a man of great influence. And that he had started as a king at the age of 16. There was much to admire about him, that he had done so many marvelous works in the land of Israel. From a young age, he had showed a heart for God and the expansion of Israel. His interest was in the things of God. And the Bible says he reigned for 52 years. And what made him a great king was he ignored popular opinion. and did what was right. Amen. Now, you know, you may not be able to be a natural king. Your lineage may not be, you may not become the president. You know, I can't say that wouldn't happen, but that may not be your calling. How many has actually woke up this morning and said, I want to be the president of the United States? Just checking. Want to know what's in the room. Amen. And so, amen, but this man had accomplished many great things and done many things to be admired. Amen. He was a man who sought the counsel of the prophet of his time. Amen. And that prophet, Zechariah, instructed him in the ways of the Lord. And the Bible said that as long as he sought God, the Lord made him to prosper. And according to Brother Branham, he was friends with Isaiah. And would invite him into the palace. Jewish tradition says it is supposed that Isaiah was part of the royal household. Either way, Brother Branham said they were friends. And Isaiah's friend was the king. And when he prospered, he went forth. He made war against the Philistines, breaking down the walls of the cities, building settlements in the area. He brought a sworn enemy, the Ammonites, under the tribute of Israel. And the Bible says his fame of his name spread all the way to Egypt and farther. He built towers of defense in Jerusalem. And he built towers in the wilderness along with wells because he loved farming. The Bible says he was a man of war and a man of invention. His army was made up of men. The Bible says they were mighty men of valor. And the Bible says when they made war, and I love this statement, when they made war with mighty power. They didn't go into the war just ambling along and you know, well, we're going to see how it turns out and I hope my aim is good. No, they made war with the expectation they were going to win it. You know, and I think that's how we should come to church. Amen. That's how we should approach the things of God like they're mine. And with enthusiasm. I mean, it's like when Abraham, amen, saw the three men coming to him and he ran out there and he said, Lord, will you come in and let me give you something to eat? And the Bible says he ran to the tent. Yeah. I mean, he was putting his energy into it and he told his wife to get the best of the flock. Yeah. Bring the tenderest meat. I'm going to give him my best. I'm going to give him my best energy. I'm going to give him my best of my possessions. I'm going to give him all I got. I believe that's the way we ought to approach God tonight. Amen. And then even if we're even struggling in the flesh, you say, I'm going to give him the best of my attention. And I'm going to give him the best of my zeal. And I'm going to just say, Lord, I'm expecting. I'm a mighty man of power. I'm coming, amen, with the power that you've invested in me. Amen. So we want to do it with all our might. The Bible says Uzziah had made in Jerusalem engines that could fire great stones and arrows, and his fame spread because he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart became lifted up to his destruction. You know, brother and sister, we have been given so much. Maybe sometimes that's why we don't expect enough. Because we've been given so much. You right now sit with more ammunition than anybody in history has ever had. You have more knowledge than anybody I read in this book. You have more knowledge handed to you. You're more equipped with the nature of God than Daniel was. Than the three Hebrew children. Than Noah. Then Abraham, then Moses. Come on. You have more stories. You have more stories to read and draw strength from. You say, Brother Nate, I'm not even convinced if those stories are true. Well, let me just tell you, they are true. Well, how do I know you're telling the truth? See, that's the way we operate. We live in an age of pressure. Amen. And that's where I'm coming down to this message. This is an age of pressure. Isaiah was under pressure. And every potential he had was muted because he was given into the pressure of the admiration of his friend. You know, I don't know your circles of friendship, and I don't know where you run and what you do. Many times we won't respond to something that God is trying to get us to do because we're more interested in what that circle thinks than what God thinks. I've seen many a young person refuse to step out and do something from the Lord because it wasn't a group effort. Listen, God's calling individuals. He wants one individual in here that's man or woman enough to stand up and say, hey, I need that, what you're talking about. Amen. Amen. And I believe this church is a Bible-believing church. This church believes in Bible results. This church believes in Bible healings. This church believes in Bible baptism. Amen. But this church believes the Bible way. Is that true? We're not following cunningly devised fables. We're not following myths. I'm a product. If you want to know, if you want to know if the quotes are the truth, I'm a product of it. I'm not just quoting something. I saw it lived. I saw it experienced. And I am a product of the advice of the prophet. You understand, young people, the pressure of the age is so great. And here's Isaiah, his mind is going like this. When you think of Isaiah, do you think of a man confused? Do you think of a man who don't know who he is and hasn't realized his potential yet? But he's become so disappointed in another human being that he don't know what to do. But in his disappointment, he did the right thing. He went to the house of God. And he began to seek God. Oh, listen, sometimes we just want God to take the disappointment away, and it was the road that brought us back to him. How many has ever asked God, Lord, help my prayer life, I need to pray more. And then disappointments came and sickness came. And you said, then you begin to pray, Lord, take the sickness away. Take the disappointment away, but you were praying more. You say, well, you know, God doesn't answer like that. He only answers when the skies are sunny and the birds are singing. Really, ask Jonah that. Right. Yeah. Amen. So let's just come back to Isaiah for just a minute. I'll come into what I was talking about myself. But the Bible says that when Uzziah was strong, his heart became lifted up to his destruction. And Brother Branham said that the heart of Isaiah came, Uzziah was lifted in pride, and he began to go into an office that wasn't meant for him. He wasn't meant to be a priest, so there are boundaries that you cannot go beyond. And in his power, he forgot his place. Because Satan watches for opportunity, and he waited till Uzziah's influence was at its peak, and then he tempted him to go where he should not. And look at the way this mighty king used his influence. He used it that it brought division and a stumbling block. That moment was enough to take his reign and end it like this. The Bible said he became afflicted with leprosy. And the last words of this great king is, he is a leper. After all of that accomplishment and after all that he had done, the last words about him is, he is a leper. You know, I've been in many graveyards and I've never seen that one. But this is what's written on his tomb. He is a leper. I mean, you can take the most sinful person and people have the concept that if he dies, he goes straight to heaven because death is the ticket to heaven. Well, no, death is not the ticket to heaven. And what you were on earth is what you would be there. Amen. But yet you just go to all these tombstones and you know, it's just one scripture after another. And you know, and he's in the bosom of God. And yet when he was on earth, he was in the bosom of the devil. But God's not that way. God tells the truth. And when he writes about Uzziah, he says he is a leper on his tomb as a warning that all his accomplishment as a young man and as a great king, his overstepping the boundaries that God gave him was enough for him to lose that position in life. And this has thrown Isaiah and he don't know what to do. Because Uzziah had thought because God had blessed him, he could be anything he wanted to be. But he was a blessing to the people as a king. But he became a curse upon them when he tried to take the minister's place. You think about that. You can be a blessing in the place God has put you. But step out of that place and you become a curse. You know, just as young people, God told us, honor our father and mother. That's the place of blessing. He never said if you were saved. He said, honor your father and mother. There is a blessing that goes with that. And when we step out of that in our rebellions and everything, it becomes something in the family that tears the family up. Right? Because God has a position for you that he wants you to honor that. And you can. There's not a young person in here that cannot honor their father and mother. You've been given that ability. And Uzziah, his life has shone over Isaiah, and Isaiah became caught up in the power and influence of Uzziah's personality. Young people, I want to say this. This is important. Maybe you won't even understand it right now, but someone else's personality and spirit can overshadow yours until you become dormant. Can I say that again? Yes. Amen. Someone else's personality and spirit can overshadow yours until you are dormant. You know, young people like to run in a pack and like to be accepted and like to not stand out. They like to be accepted and be part of the thing. And that's why Brother Branham said as a young man, he said, I should have come to the Lord as 12 years old. But he said, there was a spirit hung over me. He said, wait a little longer. Why? Because there was something he didn't want to be, you know, maybe he was afraid to step out and be noticed. But God wants young people that are not ashamed. He don't want you to be ashamed of what he's done for you. And in a culture and an age where God is becoming increasingly distant in the minds of men, this is the greatest time that's ever been to serve God is right now. And I tell you, this gospel that we believe and that we preach, the full gospel of Jesus Christ, amen, we believe Malachi 4 and 5. We believe, amen, the fulfillment of these things. But these things came to us under great sacrifice. Even great disappointment. Even great men of God trying to get out of their position, and God brought them back through great pain and great struggle. And we don't realize sometimes the worth of the message of the hour. I'm a product this evening of a mother who was ready to give me up in separation in order to believe this message. If it cost her children, she was going to stay with it. I'm a product of that. So when I tell you this message is not just about quotes and ideas and holding arguments and fussing and fighting and Facebook squabbles and then everything else. This is cheapening the cost and sacrifice of the message that came to you. You would read your COD book. And young people, I've used this over the world. The COD is not call of duty. It's conduct, order, and doctrine. Hallelujah. I know some people didn't know that. I'll let you do it. Amen. The man in white will come and preach it. Amen. Amen. Now, if I was a teenager, I said, don't you tell me what to do anyway, but I'm not. I said, that's a good thought. Amen. Amen. But you understand. If you've ever read in Conduct, Order, and Doctrine, Brother Branham was asked a question. I have two daughters married to men in denominations. They've received opposition. What should they do? That was my mother and my aunt. I'm a product of that advice he gave them. He told my grandmother, hold fast, show your colors. In other words, don't be ashamed of what you believe. You know, my background, my dad's side is Mennonite. I've got some relatives in here. Right, Brother Furman? We're relatives. You know the family trees of the Mennonite and Amish don't have too many branches. Amen. Amen. What does that mean? Don't worry about it. Just go ask Furman. Amen. Don't ask me. I don't want to explain it. Amen. But anyway, you know, my dad's side is Mennonite. All of them on that side, still to this day, Mennonite. But my grandmother, their side, they were in some denominational church. There was no desire for them to become Mennonite. But out of the blue, my grandmother decides to convert to the Mennonite church. And she told the bishop when she came to the church, I don't know why I'm here. But I'll tell you why it was. I'm talking about God's interest in your life. And he pre-plans. He knew what you would wear. Because there was a boy in that Mennonite church that had to meet my mother. And they had to become interested in one another. Then they had to marry. All right, and then in that time, my grandmother began to work for a man. If you read the messages or hear him, you hear Brother Branham talk about him often, Bill Dow. Bill Dow come to the meetings often, follow Brother Branham all over the country, supported him financially. My grandmother began to work in their house as a Mennonite. They begin to witness to her the message of the hour and begin to ask her if she wanted to come to the meetings right here in Jeffersonville. So she come to many of the meetings right here, and then she began to testify to her daughters. And then my mother become interested. And then they were converted. My mom was converted to the message in 1963. You know, my dad wasn't a good Mennonite until she was converted. But when she was converted, young people, boy, he became the best Mennonite there ever was on the face of the earth. He became fervent. He became zealous. Hey, something in him hated the message. And he began to oppose it. And my dad came to one of Brother Branham's meetings right here in the tabernacle. How can I overcome? My dad was in that meeting. So if you ever have a vision, if you ever have an idea of how somebody was acting in a meeting, Brother Branham's, my dad sat on the back row and slept through the whole service. Amen. He knows what it's like to be tired in church. He said, I slept through the whole. How could you sleep through that? How can you sleep through this? The same way you can sleep through this is the same way you can sleep through that. Human nature there is human. Oh, no, Brother Bran. No, Brother Danny. If I was in Brother Bran's meeting, I would be attentive. I'd be full of zeal. I would be that Ben Bryant you hear on that tape. Amen! I know you wouldn't. You'd be exactly what you are right now. But that pillar of fire wasn't seen by everybody. Brother Bran many times said, don't you see that light? Well, that's what I appreciate about my grandmother so much, who just passed on just 2 years ago. And she would tell us, she talked about the anointing would be so heavy in the meetings. She said, if Brother Bam told us to get out of the chair and roll down the aisle, she said, every one of us would have rolled right down the aisle. She says, but brother, she said, but Danny, she said, the anointing was no different there than it is right here now. Why? It's the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God didn't step off the scene when William Branham passed off the scene. That same God is here and interested in you. All of a sudden, my dad began to hate this message and hate what my mother was in, and began to threaten her with all sorts of things, and began to tell her that if you keep believing this, I'm going to leave you, and I'm going to take the children, I'm done with you, and all of those kind of things. And the pressure becomes so great on her to change, she would go back to my mom. My grandmother said, Mom, are you sure that this message is the truth? And all my grandmother could say, I don't know whether there's anything else. It has to be. That's all she could answer. It has to be. But God was holding her there. That's why I believe God allowed the prophet to pay attention to her that didn't make sense at the time. Or for instance, you think about all the interviews that was lined up and people trying to get interviews with Brother Branham from all around the world. And Brother Branham come into where my grandmother was sitting in the restaurant and knelt by her chair and says, Sister Golden, is there any question you would like to ask me? You can think about all these people wanting interviews and he's coming to her asking if she has anything she wants to talk about. You know what she said? No, Brother Branham, I can't think of anything. Can you get that back? But you know, but it was God paying attention because he knew what was coming down the road. And he was cultivating something. It may have looked pointless at the time. It may have looked like it had no direction. And the pain was great. And the separation was hard. And the pressure got more intense. My dad found my mom's stash of books. He threw them off a bridge and take her clothes, throw them in the yard, send her back home to her parents and just keep threatening her, literally moved her all over the country, lived in California, bought land in New Mexico, moved to Florida, trying to get her out of the message. Everywhere he went, he would testify, this message, what my wife believes is a cult, and begin to describe all the strange doctrines they believed. Of course, serpent seed was number one, and that's why when my dad was converted and began to witness, that was the first thing he would start with. Well, I know I've heard people say, you know, just tell them about Jesus and we're talking about the message. But I thought the message was Jesus. My dad's favorite opening line of testifying was, what do you think happened in the garden? I mean, here, I can remember those things. My first memories as a little boy going to church was going with my mom, amen, to a house church, and going with my dad to the Mennonite church, and my dad telling you don't believe what your mother believed. And I can remember dad screaming at my mother and raking her over the coals, and I can remember the atmosphere that was in the house. But Brother Branham had given advice. Hold fast. Show your colors. 1963 or 4, 64, when he gave that advice. Show your colors. And no matter how hard it got. Well, for you young people, my grandmother was fellowshipping after one of the meetings of Brother Branham, and Brother Branham came in the room to fellowship with the Dowells, and my grandmother was there, so he sat across from her on the bed. He began to talk to her about a situation about a woman with a tumor, and he could see that he began to describe the tumor, and he couldn't come up with the name of the tumor, so he looked at my grandmother and says, what's the name of that? And my grandmother said, well, the tumor is such and such. He goes, that's right, that's what it is. And then he goes, but I see she's going to be okay. And he got up and went out of the room. And my grandmother said, you know, the whole time he talked to me, I thought he was talking about another woman. But when he left, I realized he was talking about me the whole time. Because my grandmother had a tumor. And you know, that's the way it is with many people in the message. They think he's talking about someone else. But God is speaking about you the whole time. Amen. When God said he knew what bed and time you would come. And he prepared you. He made you to be, amen, to meet the challenge of this hour. A believer is made to believe the word of the hour to meet the challenge of the hour. And we think, well, he's talking about someone else. No, he's talking about you. Young people, this you may seem disassociated from the message, but he's talking about you. You have the potential in you to be an inventor. To be a songwriter. All these great potentials. I heard. Was it the Answer Man, Zion, playing the piano with enthusiasm? I love that. Maybe some of you didn't, but it's in him. So it's something there, and God wants to express that. There's many, many young men that had great gifts that if they'd have given them to God, the potential of them would have been realized. You know, you had a man like Elvis Presley with a gift. He might not have been the greatest singer on earth. I almost said he wasn't my favorite singer. That'd be a bad thing for a preacher to say, wouldn't he? No, he wasn't my favorite singer. Thank you very much. Anyway, I never listened to his music, so I just heard that somewhere. Okay. Here they call him the king. His span of fame was only 20 years. 20 years. He had a religious upbringing. Had a desire for God, but when he gave his gift to the wrong thing, that gift began to haunt him. After he'd come out of these concerts, he'd have to get down and have somebody sing Amazing Grace. Why? Because he's trying to soothe the torment of a gift he never gave to God. And at the end of his life, he's taking 3 envelopes of pills a day. 3 envelopes. And each envelope has at least 11 pills trying to soothe. He died at an early age. How old was he? Come on. You're
died in 77.
Died in 77. Thanks a lot. All right. He was 44 or something like that. 42, 44. Anybody here know? Anybody loved Elvis?
Oh, Brother Danny.
We'll get to the up-to-date names here in a minute. But he died at a young age. What if he'd given that potential and gift to God? He's no different than an Isaiah. Isaiah had a place to fill. Think if Isaiah had stayed under the influence of Uzziah and never responded and let his spirit and his gift remain dormant. What would we have missed? Brother Branham said, Isaiah had to write something that would influence millions of people and is still influencing people today. The very words of Isaiah our Lord took as a young man of 30 and took from a priest and found where it was written and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me." Words of Isaiah. What if he had never given that gift to God? What if he had never seen that heavenly vision? And here you are in a place like this with the opportunity to see it and the opportunity for it to be expressed. My mother stood for 10 years of this oppression. And some of you may be in here coming through much longer times. I don't know. But this is a testimony that can be used to encourage, because I know our God is faithful and his word is true. And God loves to come and back up his word. God loves to show himself mighty. And he comes in the most unexpected times and in the most unusual way. Here come as you've been. You know, sometimes we can expel so much energy praying for something that we actually begin to lose faith in it after years of praying it. When I say faith in, I mean the expectation of it. We just kind of begin to pray it mechanically. Oh, God, I please that you please do this, and amen. Is that true? Because it's just the repetition of defeat and hardship gets so hard to carry yourself. Last year was our 25th anniversary, and I decided to go out west and retrace some of the steps. While we were out there, to retrace some of the steps of my dad as he tried to get my mother out of the message. And those places are still there, the places where they lived, and even the shop where my mother would walk to from the house just to get a call from the relatives over here in Ohio. She said, my life hung on that. And Sister Gladys Dow would send a book. And she'd get a book in the mail and hide it from Dad. And it would be the only encouragement. Had nobody to talk to other than that phone call. Nobody to fellowship with. But a burning desire. I can't let this go. I want to ask you, is this message worth it?
Come on.
No, because we become bored with it. You know, well, yeah. It's mom and dad's religion. Is it worth it? Is it worth standing for and going against the grain of your friends? Such peer pressure for our boys to fit in, and peer pressure for our girls. Maybe you got some, there's some peer pressure here of relationships. It's hard for you to give up. But in order to serve God right, you have to do it. And I'm telling you this experience because my mother was willing to give up the relationship that she had in order to stand for the truth. I'll tell you, if you lose your homes and family for his sake, he said, I'll give them to you. Lord, we have left all to follow thee. We've left our homes, we've left our fathers, we've left our mothers, we've left our wives. He said, I'll give you fathers. I'll give you mothers. You serve a faithful God. You serve a God when the pressure's so intense and your mind feels like it's coming out of your skin. He's there. And he's faithful. My dad would make statements like, if William Branham's in heaven, I don't want to go. I thought, you know, I thought, what a stupid statement. You know, if the devil's in heaven, I want to go. I ain't going to make a statement like, if he's in heaven, I ain't gone. Well, don't worry about it. I know God ain't saying, hey, change the records. He's not coming. You know, we make stupid statements. I'll tell you, this man, my daddy, he destroyed the books trying to get my mother out of the message. He destroyed its influence where he lived trying to get my mother out of the message. He disrupted the services that they were having while they were outside. When his home services, he would call the phone, and when they'd hang up and call again, hang up, call again, hang up. He'd come outside with his car and rev the engine and spin the tires trying to disrupt the service. He hated it. But our God's greater than that hate. Trust this is all right. I believe it's about 1974, somewhere in there. My uncle had come out of Vietnam, hippie, on drugs, gave his heart to the Lord. He's going to get baptized. My mom told my dad about it. My dad said, yeah, that's the kind that message attracts, hippies and drug addicts. How many hippies we have in here? Ex-hippies. Oh, we have some in our church. Yeah, he was under the flower power. Drug addicts. He said, yeah, that's the kind that attracts. My mom said, well, he's getting baptized, and I'd like to go to the baptism. My dad said, I'll tell you what. He said, if you go, he said, when you get back, he said, I'm gone. The kids are gone. He said, I am finished. It's done. It's over. My mom said, I'm going to go. Willing to give us up. You know, I should be walking. I should have a complex right now. I should be walking around. My mom didn't love me. She was going to give me up. No, here's the thing. True love loves God first. True love loves God first. I see a lot of people in this age, because of love, give up the truth in order to try to win somebody. No, it's not worth that. And now you're telling me what to preach. Why don't you guys just take your own subjects? Anyway, I'm feeling at home, so I appreciate you letting me do that. So why did I come over here? Anyway, I've seen a lot of people, because of what they call love, give up the standard. I see a lot of people, because of love, give up standing for the sacrifice that a prophet had to give and become ashamed of Brother Branham. So I don't worship Brother Branham, but I sure honor and respect what God did for him. But become ashamed because of the pressure and the scorn. My mother said, I'm going to go. And then the battle's over. She'd made her stand. She'd held fast. She showed her colors. And God says, now it's time for me to do my thing. It's been 10 years, but now it's time. You know, amen, amen. When all those angels begin to volunteer, when those three Hebrew children said, we're going to go into the fire first, and all those angels said, hey, let me go. Let me. And they begin to jostle. Hey, let me be the one. And God says, no, you're not gone. You're not gone. I'm gone. Come on. Amen. That angel couldn't be the fourth man, but our Lord can be the fourth man. Amen. And God dropped down into that kitchen, and my dad turned around. He said, there it was no great moment. There was no shouting, screaming. He said, I was crying crocodile tears, feeling sorry for myself, because I made a statement that I'm going to leave my wife and take my children. And then God dropped down. He said, I'll take you. And he turned around, and a week later he was baptized. And then God called him a few years later with a knock on the wall and told him to move to Florida and just tell him, feed my sheep. My mother received the exact call. Knock on the wall, feed my sheep. And God, my dad told God, said, if that's you, he said, I will not have to advertise or sell my house. He said, it'll sell by itself with nobody knowing it. In 2 weeks, it was sold. Put God to the test. And then God called him to move back to Florida, where he'd went and testified about how wrong the message was, and the serpent seed and the cult and everything else. And the area he'd done it in was the Mennonite area, and it's called Pinecraft, and there's just multitudes of Amish and Mennonite there. And God told him to move there and start a church where he'd said it was wrong. Start it now and testify for it. And I can remember, we lived in a hotel for a couple weeks, and my dad began to look for a house, and he prayed. He told God, he said, God, I'll live anywhere but Pinecraft. So, of course, we lived in Pinecraft for 30 years. You don't tell God what you're going to do. And so my dad would always make the statement, said, I've been in the message 40 years, 10 against it and 30 for it. But I seen the hatred. I seen the extreme attitude against the message and how God, just in a moment's time, changed the whole thing. That when he showed up to the baptism, the people looked at him and they were afraid. What is he going to do? And he goes over and he sticks his hand out and says, God bless you, Sam. In a moment's time, God erased a whole life of misery. Young people, you may not understand that, but that's what this message is all about. This message is not me arguing with you and fussing with you, though sometimes it becomes a little necessary to drive a spirit out. Amen. But it is about, amen, the power of resurrection that takes a life and changes its whole course. And it's called regeneration. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You don't think that affected me? You don't think that had influence on me? When my own daddy's telling me, don't believe what your mama believes, trying in my formative years to influence me away from this. You say, who won? You can answer that. Let me tell you, to this day, I got, including myself, there's five of us brothers and sisters. Every one of them are still in the church there in Sarasota, still serving the Lord. The bishop came to my dad after he came to the truth. He said, I give you 6 months and you're going to leave this thing. And he never left it. He said, he came to him and said, no, you watch. All of your children will go to the world. Guess what happened? Never tell God that he can't do it. All of his children are still serving the Lord. Every one of that bishop's children went straight to the world. And I just received word after all of these years. You see, my dad had a bad name in that Mennonite church up there in the Lima area because of this message has a bad name. William Branham has a bad name in that church. They tried to do whatever they could to ruin its influence, even to where ex-preachers of the message called the church and said we were wrong and Brother Branham is a false prophet and it was an occult, and they announced it over the pulpit because they knew who Johnny Steeman was. And I just received word just last night. Four families from that church are now seeking out the message because they see it in the lives of the young people. Just last night. You mean a man stand? And you mean when a prophet said, hold fast and show your colors in 1964, could still be paying benefits today in 2018? These are more than the words of a man. This is God speaking through men. And it's the same God speaking tonight. He's the life changer, but it takes a vision, amen, of a heavenly king. That's the one that Isaiah saw, that his whole world had been changed from upside down to come right. Till he went in there discouraged and wondering what is going on. Until he goes, here am I, send me. You know, in just one church service, you can go from down and out to being a volunteer. Ain't that wonderful? That's the God we serve. You know, the church I came out of, they had a 6 months testing period to see if it was real. 6 months to prove you. You know, we'll hold you, we'll put you through this and through that. And you know, and then, can you imagine if you passed that test, what did you come a part of? Something that killed you. But in this, in a moment's time, I love the message. Looking at the unseen, 1959, in Los Angeles, California, where God speaks directly through Brother Branham's lips, said, I'm the Lord that raised up Christ from the grave. Brother Branham has nothing to do with this. You remember that? But just before that, as he's speaking, he's talking to them, and he's asking them, how many want to be saved? You're a sinner. And there's a man sitting there in a wheelchair. And the man's first need was his soul, not his crippled condition. And that man raised his hand. Brother Branham says, God bless you, sir. God will honor that. And then he began to talk to him and said, if you thought enough to raise up your hand and for for your soul. He said, God will heal you. He wants to heal you. And then I love this statement. He says, I mean that, sir. You know, only God can back that up. And so he prayed the sinner's prayer with him, spoke to him, and then he went into the healing of the sick. And then all of a sudden he stopped. He said, where is that man in the wheelchair that raised up his hand wanted to be saved a moment ago? You know, God's bringing attention back to him. And then he began to talk to that man. He said, you know what I would do if I was in that condition? He said, if it was me, I'd get up out of that wheelchair. I'd get up out of that wheelchair, and he began to exhort and encourage the people. And it wasn't long before he says, there he goes. What was it? A man had sat in a service, crippled and a sinner. And in a moment's time. Hallelujah. A moment's time. And then Brother Branham referred back to that, and he talked about it. He said, how could that happen? He said, because here's a man who was a sinner a moment ago. Now he's saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and it brought his healing to him. Think about it. In a moment's time, you come in a crippled and a sinner, and you walk out pushing the wheelchair. And we go, well, that's good, Brother Daddy. You going to Burger King tonight? Our minds are on mundane things when the supernatural is here right now. The power of his resurrection. The God that saved my mama and held her and turned my dad's heart around and influenced me is the same God that took that man in a wheelchair. Amen. And saved his soul. And he walked again. And those things become ancient history to us. And we don't see the sacrifice. It wasn't. If it had been up to Brother Branham, we would not even know this message. Brother Branham said, against my better judgment, here I go, getting off the pulpit. Against my better judgment, I wanted to be a trapper. You know, his judgment would have caused a split in his family and he'd have lost his wife. That's what he wanted to be. But he said, it was the will of my father. You see, Brother Branham, he caved in to the peer pressure of family. When he was up there in Mishawaka, got all those invitations to go to those Pentecostal churches, but he come back and the peer pressure, a family said, you're not taking my daughter up there. And he turned away from all those invitations and look what it cost him. Why? Because God was so interested in a service tonight that he would not allow the words that needed to be preached to fall to the ground. It had to come through that vessel. Brother Branham, as a young man, received the call. He heard the voice. You're all familiar with it, hearing the voice up in a tree. Well, you know what they say today. Give the boy some medicine. Brother Branham said his mother thought he was nervous. And he was nervous. But what would they say today? Medicate him. Let's go get him tested. He's hearing voices. They try to use that against him. Well, you know, every prophet of God heard voices. Every child of God hears a voice. God has spoke to me. He spoke to you. How many's heard the voice of God? God, speak to your heart. You can hear him. And he said, but here he is as a seven-year-old boy carrying water for his daddy, and he hears a voice out of a tree. Well, first it started out with the whirlwind sound, and then it caught his attention, and he's watching, and then a voice spoke out of that whirlwind said, don't smoke or drink or defile your body in any way because there's a work for you to do when you get older. And it made such an impression on that heart that every time he tried to go against that voice, tried to smoke because of pressure, because of a girlfriend laughing at him, he said, give me that cigarette. How many of you boys are sitting in that position right now being pressed by an unholy desire because you're afraid to stand up and for the truth? Well, Brother Branham was the same. He was willing to give in. Give me that cigarette. And he takes it to his mouth and he hears. He says he throws it down and he runs crying home. When his daddy made fun of him, I raised one sissy. What would you boys have done if your own daddy sat there and said, I raised one since he. Give me that bottle. Everything in his power, he determined to do it. And when he lifted it to his lips, why? Think about if Brother Branham had went the way he wanted to be. We would have never heard of him. He would have probably been a moonshiner and a trapper. But because in the hardest of times, he was willing to do the right thing, even though it might have looked like he didn't want to, he stood up. We're having church tonight. We're preaching about the truth. Because of a man's willingness. You see, sometimes God lets it get so hard and so intense that it comes down to one person holding on, that if that person falls, the whole strand of the Bible is broken. You think about it. Isaiah, when he said a virgin shall conceive, he wasn't talking about a million women. He's talking about one girl. You think about, you thought about one, the pressure of one girl standing up and saying, be it unto me according to thy word, and then having to testify about it as a 15-year-old girl in that kind of culture and that kind of pressure and remain faithful to the Holy Spirit. And we sat here and go, I'm getting a whopper. And then the juices are starting to run. Brother Danny, have you ever had a whopper yet? Until my wife told me to quit. Now I've quit. But they're good. Anyway, you know, I'm getting older, so you got to start eating healthier. Young people, remember that. Just a moment's time. You too will not be eating fried things unless you come visit Brother Nathan. Amen. But just in a moment's time, God allowed the prophecies to hinge upon the turning of one soul. Then how much potential do you have in here? What does God wanting to confirm through these lives? Because God only proves his word by believers. He only proves, he's not proving this message is true by unbelievers. He's proving it by believers. So he wants believers rising up out of these young people to stand up and say, God has, amen, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac is now my God. I have personally experienced the God of William Branham. That's what he wants to see rise up and confirm the words that have been preached to be the truth. That's how important you are. Let's not let pressure keep our spirits dormant. Let's rise up and say, Lord, it's me. It's me. It's me. So whenever you read that in COD, I have two daughters married to men in denominations. What should they do? And Brother Branham couldn't quite read it right, so he spelled out some of it and stumbled around, and then he said it. Remember Danny Steeman, because I'm a product of that. You're all a product of what somebody stood for. Everyone in here is a product of what somebody stood for. Aren't you glad somebody stood? Amen. Then I'm going to say what Brother Branham did at the end when he comes down the end of influence and he's preached it, and then he stands and he says, Isaiah, where are you? He preached about Isaiah of a few thousand years ago, but then at the end of the service he said, Isaiah, where are you? I'm looking for one here who is willing to break the mold and stand for truth and heed the call and recognize the heavenly vision and say, here am I. Send me. Let's stand together. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God's just looking for hearts that are responsive. That say amen to the word.
You know, it really humbles you when I hear Brother Branham talk about his experiences and then how God pressed him in such a way. The great flood came. His wife passed away. His daughter passed away. His daddy had passed away not too long before that. I believe it was somewhere in there. But as his wife was dying, she says, "You know where we went wrong, don't you, Billy?" He said, "Yes, I do." You know why? Because God wanted him to go to a certain channel so that word could be revealed in that channel. Couldn't be laying under denominationalism and be revealed. Had to go to that channel. But Brother Branham, when Julia Stadscliff's baby had died and they laid it, they held it up there under oxygen in Germany and waited on a word from the Lord to Brother Branham if he would come and pray, and God told him, "Don't touch that." And then Brother Branham sent a tape of consolation, a tape letter to Brother Julius and the families of consolation, sympathy, and was talking to him and began to express his sentiments and of what he had went through, how he lost his wife and daughter. And he said, "I often thought I could never go through that again." He goes, "But after seeing all the souls that came to God because of that testimony," he said, "I'd go through it all over again." This message worth living for. It's worth standing for. It's worth responding to. Let's close our eyes. We have any Isaiahs here that want to raise their hand and say, "Here am I, send me. I've heard the call." Maybe in your life there's influences that have pressed in you one way, and it's hard to give them up. You say, "Brother Danny, I just don't have the strength." But while you're in this atmosphere, the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit is here to help you. Brother Branham said, "A preacher, he's not commissioned to save you or to heal you. That's already been done." Brother Branham wasn't commissioned to save you or heal you. Those works were done at Calvary. But a preacher is commissioned to preach the gospel. And those spirits that hang over you and deaden your responses and your enthusiasms and your tenderness to the Holy Spirit, they're commissioned to hold those spirits back through the preaching of the word, and that you can respond to it like you are right now. Many hands have slipped up. You identified with the service. You identified with the need in your heart. You recognized, this is speaking to me. Then, Lord Jesus, may you go to them, Father, and touch them with that same coal of fire. Oh, Lord, that would touch the lips of Isaiah. Amen. It says, "Now you're cleansed." Amen. Lord, you can equip a man, amen, to live for you and not be ashamed. And maybe there's some here that's been ashamed and they're kind of held in a place of peer pressure, but now, amen, the Holy Spirit is speaking to their heart and say, "You'd make a stand for me, I'll stand for you. Try me and see." And Lord, they raise their hands. I pray, Heavenly Father, you touch them, Lord, according to your riches and glory. And Lord, you're rich. Lord, young and old have raised their hands. And they said, "Oh Lord, I'm identifying myself with that." Then, Father, the enemy that might have held them bound, the enemy that held them back, Lord, amen, we are fighting a defeated creature. The work was already paid at Calvary. We're here to minister of that work, amen, that has been done. Amen. Satan is a liar. Amen. Satan, every spirit that we come in contact with and fight against has already been a defeated one. Then, Father, I pray now that you anoint their faith, anoint their lives, and may the Holy Spirit, Lord, just begin to work in them, Father. And they say, "Here I am, here I am. I'm a willing vessel tonight. I'm a willing vessel to respond to you."
Maybe, amen, you've given your heart to the Lord. You've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but maybe you've just been on the sidelines and you've just been living, Lord, just living a compromising life. You want to say, I don't want to be a halfway Christian anymore. I want to go all the way, because God doesn't make halfway Christians. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you touch them now for your glory. And we'll say amen to it, Lord. Amen. Maybe even this simple service, Lord, lives have been changed. Amen. Directions have been altered, Lord God, because you spoke to their heart. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ for your glory. Amen and amen. If anyone needs prayer, amen, you're welcome to come and be prayed for. Amen. I turn this service to you, Brother Nathan.
Amen. You believe he's here tonight? Amen. His presence is here. I believe that. You appreciate what you heard tonight? Amen. You appreciate our brother coming and being with us tonight? Oh, my. Sometimes we don't pull as hard as we should, and other times Lord directs us to whatever he would have. Maybe you know what the need is, and the minister doesn't even know the need, but you. The Lord anoints you to pull the right way, and I don't say this lightly. You can probably count on one finger when I say it how many times I've said this with guest ministers and things, because I don't say it lightly, but I feel like that was a masterpiece tonight. Amen. Just what we needed. And I know only the Holy Spirit can direct to those things. A man in his humanity gets up here and stumbles around, tries to find a leading, but when the Holy Spirit begins to direct, it changes lives. Amen. Just like he was talking about with his dad. It only takes a moment. Amen. God's here if you're seeking the Holy Ghost. Brother Bram said, God wants to give it to you more than you want to receive it. If you have a need tonight, whatever the need is, whatever the desire is, his presence is here to give it to you tonight. I was sitting over there. I'd heard Brother Danny share part of that testimony before, but never in the detail that he did tonight. And we started to go down that path. I was sitting right there, and I was praying. I said, Lord, let him go into that tonight for our young people. And just as soon as I said those words, Brother Danny said, now, I'll go back and talk more about that in a minute, but he said, I got to finish this about Uzziah. I said, all right, thank you, Lord. Amen. You don't realize sometimes when you have a need, you don't have to depend on somebody else. You can make an impact. Amen. Why don't you reach out and touch the Lord tonight? He's here for whatever you have need of. Felt led to do this tonight. He's referred to it many times, and you can keep playing. I just wanted us to listen to this. The prophet of God said this in 1964, about 7 miles from here. Now, I don't know. I believe as a prophet, God could have showed him, but I don't know that God showed him that there would be a group of people here tonight that would hear the impact that these two paragraphs would have on a family, and how that family would impact other families, and how there would be a church in Sarasota, and how there would be a church in New Albany, and how a brother would come by our way and share things with us. It was what we needed to hear. But I know that God knew. Amen. God knew. Let me share this with you tonight. You can keep playing just softly. It's fine.
Two daughters married to man in the DAV, and they believe this message. They denominations, that's right, and they believe this message and have taken a stand for it and have received what should they do? They have received opposition. What shall we do? Hold your stand. Amen. Absolutely. Show your colors. I said, don't give in to them. No, sir. I don't say don't go among them, fellowship or something like that, as long as you can fellowship. But when they come to changing the diet, you know, a dove can't eat with a buzzard.
Hold your stand. Show your colors. That wasn't just for two sisters back in 1964. I believe it rings true tonight with us as well. Under all the pressure, under all the opposition, whatever it would be, hold your stand. Show your colors. Amen. Let's sing it together tonight. Why don't we just worship the Lord? If you have a need, the altar's open.
Something keeps holding me. Every day I see. Oh.
helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. He's guiding me constantly, giving me victory. Oh, He's a reality. Something keeps holding me. Oh, the trials of this world, we're getting closer. And the pull I felt was more than I could bear. And just when I was on the verge of just giving over, all the strength within myself, it just wasn't there. Oh, but something keeps holding me. Every day I see, oh, He's helping me faith. Before me, His temptation. Oh, it was His desire to steal away my faith. Oh, but thank God I found in time this great revelation. Oh, it's the strength I need to keep me.
mission. Oh, you see, it's his desire to steal away our faith. Oh, but thank God we found in time this great revelation. Oh, and it's the strength we need to keep us in his grace. Oh, something keeps holding me. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, helping me faithfully just to
Jesus. Thank you, Father. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Oh, tell me, Lord. What did I ever do that was worth loving you or the kindness you'd show? Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Lord, I've wasted it so. Thank you. think there's a way I could ever repay all I've taken from you. Oh, and maybe, Lord, I could show myself on my way back to you. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Lord, I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus. Oh, I my soul, it was astray from the heavenly way. Oh, I was wretched and vile as could be, but then my when he reached down his hand for me. Aren't you thankful that he reached for you? Oh, when he reached down his hand for me, he had to reach way down for me. His hand for me. Maybe this is where he found you. Oh, I was nearing despair. That's when he came to me there. Oh, and he showed me that I could be free. Thank you, Lord. Call like Isaiah, Lord, send me. Oh, since the Lord, he gave me peace, these heavenly joys never cease.
Oh, but he reached down his hand for me. Oh, is this your testimony tonight?
We can sing this tonight. Amen. I'm sure after Brother Danny identifying himself in that quote, he can sing it tonight. Don't let it just be his quote. It can be your quote tonight. Hold fast. Stand. Amen. We got something to be happy about. Oh, can't you see why? Oh, I'm so happy. For I've accepted of the Lord. It's the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of man. Oh, maybe you didn't come in happy tonight, but you can go out happy. Oh, can't you see? I'm so happy, for I've accepted the word, not of a man, but the Lord. He used a man's vocal cords, but it was God's voice to you, the revealed word, all that was spoken by the prophet of mankind. Let's sing it again together. Oh, can't you see why I'm so happy? Oh, I've accepted. I'm not feeding on the failing words of a man, but I'm feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Oh, it's the revealed by the prophet of Malachi. Oh Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Well, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh, you have done what this world could never do. Oh Lord, you saved my soul when I was lost. Surely been good to me. Lord, you saved my soul when I was lost. You surely been good to me. Oh Lord, you saved my soul when I was lost. Surely been good to me. Oh, you have done what this world could never do. Oh, then you healed my body when I was sick. Lord, you surely been good to me. Oh Lord, you healed my body when I was sick. You surely been good to me. Why don't you claim it tonight? Healed my body when I was sick. Oh, surely been good to me. You have done what this world could never do. Oh, and we sing, Lord, Lord, Lord. Oh my, he's good to us, isn't he? Oh yes, and Lord, hallelujah. Oh, you surely been good to me. Oh Lord, Lord, Lord,
minister, he's surely been good to me. He's done much more than I deserve. He's surely been good to me. He has done what this world could never do. Let's sing it again together. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. Gave me peace, surely been good to me. Oh, you showed me the message, gave me peace, surely been good to me. He showed me the message, gave me peace, he's surely been good to me. Oh, he has done what this world could never do. So we sing, Lord, 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 you surely been good to me. Reveal us who the prophet was, but he revealed who we were in the Word. He's surely been good to me. He revealed who we were in the Word. He's surely been good to me. He revealed who we were in the Word. Surely been good to me. Oh, he has done what this world could never do. Oh, he said, you're part of the bride tree. Surely been good to me. God said I was part of his bride tree. He's surely been good to me. Oh, I'm part of that original tree. Surely been good to me. Oh, he has done what this world could never do. Oh, before I had a choice, he predestinated me. Oh, before I had a choice, he predestinated me. Before I had a choice, he predestinated me. Oh, he has done what this world could never do. Oh, one more time. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good. Oh, then we applied the token to our family. He's surely been good to me. Oh, I've applied the token to my family. He's surely been good to me. Oh, apply the token to your family. He's surely been good to me. Oh, he has done what this world could never do. Thank you, Lord.
You tonight. Brother Joel and Sister Christy just drove from Minnesota to be here for what, 30 minutes of the service, brother? Amen. But I'd rather see them come late than not at all. So, amen. They was trying to get here and Chicago traffic determined that they weren't going to be able to make it. But I'm glad they was able to come worship a little bit at the end with us anyhow. Good to have them back in town. They've been gone visiting family. And Brother Joel, would you come tonight and just dismiss us in a word of prayer? Amen. It's been good to be in church. Amen. Been good to be in the presence of the Lord. Nowhere else I'd rather be. Not because it's 1221 Silver Street, but in the presence of the Lord. If the presence of the Lord will meet me behind a dumpster, in an alleyway, on an elevator, in a skyscraper, at a hay bale, in the back of a farm, wherever he wants to meet me, wherever he's at, wherever his presence is, that's where I want to be. Amen. God bless you tonight.
Good it is to be back in the house of the Lord. How good it is to be gathered here with my church family once again, Lord. God, we're just looking forward, great anticipation. fellowship tomorrow, but God, more importantly for the services this coming Sunday, Lord, how we just long to hear the word come forth, God, to minister unto our needs, Lord. We're just thanking you for all that you've done here, Lord. All the souls that you've touched, brothers and sisters who've come to know you in a closer walk with you today. Lord, as we go forth from here, Lord God, we pray you just accompany us in our walk, our daily lives. Pray for the services, Lord. Welcome you in. Constantly just dwelling here, Lord. Pray it all in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.
God bless you. If you can come tomorrow, the pitch-in meal there at 11 a.m. at the Tunnel Hill Christian Church in Georgetown, the gym behind the church there. You're welcome to come and fellowship with us, looking for a good time in the Lord. And then back here, Sunday morning, Sunday school for the youth at 10:30 and regular service at 11. And then again, Sunday evening at 6:30. Brother Danny will be preaching for us Sunday morning, Sunday evening. Come expecting for the Lord to do something. Let's sing that as we go this evening. God bless you. You can be dismissed. Oh, you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. God bless.